Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents. Today, we're going to talk about why the demise of kids playing outside is happening and how can we change this? Hello, my name is Christina Campos. I'm founder of The Impactful Parent, and I help parents of school-aged children turn their chaos into connection with their adolescent. I'm a mom of four kids, a teacher that has taught every grade from preschool through high school. And today I help moms and dads like yourself to navigate that exhausting, confusing, frustrating, but rewarding world of parenting. So welcome to The Impactful Parent. And today I have my co-host with me, Rodrigo Bravo. Rodrigo is a co-parenting mediator out of the state of Texas. He is a parenting coach, and he is a dad of two boys. Rodrigo brings a dad's perspective onto the Impactful Parent stage to give you even more expertise and an added perspective to our parenting topics. So thank you for being here, Rodrigo.
No, I appreciate you giving me the platform to be on here with you, Christina. Really excited to delve into today's topic.
Now, today, we're going to be talking about this TikTok video that I saw. I know that sounds kind of silly, but this guy, his name is...
Doesn't sound silly. TikTok is like the number one source of information for so many people now. So that does not sound silly.
It's true. And we do get a lot of our information from social media anymore. So, you know, but you take social media with a grain of salt. And when I saw this video, I thought it was interesting. It was put out by Real Joe DeSena, who is the founder of Spartan. And he played this video on TikTok. Check it out.
My boys and my girls, I've had them do crazy things. My 8-year-old ran the Boston Marathon. My 7-year-old boy ran the New York Marathon. My daughter ran a Spartan Beast in Indonesia. And these are not like unbelievable feats by any stretch of the imagination. If you go into parts of Africa, there's women, young women carrying buckets of water, 40 pounds for 10 miles every day to drink water. So like, there's nothing special about what I just said. It's rare. It's not special. It's rare because we're so afraid, to your point. I had the boys carrying kettlebells a couple of miles to their friend's house one day. We had to go to a friend's house anyway. It's 2 miles away. We might as well turn it into a workout. We're going to carry these kettlebells. And this woman, unbeknownst to me, drives by. It's about 70 degrees out. And she stops short and she slams her door, gets out of the car, comes over and asks my kids, the kids, not even me, bypasses me and goes right to the kids.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Is he a coach? Do you need water? And I said, hi, ma'am. No need to be disrespectful. These are my kids. Absolutely fine. I've seen you out here for at least 15 minutes. They're carrying these heavy things. Are they okay? Ma'am, we're completely fine. I didn't want to be disrespectful. She got in the car. She left. She came back and brought water for the kids. Again, bypassing. It was fine. I didn't want to get in a fight. As I walked the remaining mile, I thought about it and I said, you know what? I can't blame her. She hasn't seen a child outside on a sidewalk in 10 years.
That's right.
They look like wild animals.
Right.
Right? So that's the problem. But the real problem, like you got to always go to the root cause. I don't know if it's fear. I think the root cause, matter of fact, I know the root cause is the device. And the reason I say that is when I take the devices from my kids on a random weekend, you know, why? Because I don't feel like you know, you're not going to have a phone this weekend. All of a sudden they become bored.
Yes.
As soon as they become bored, they're outside. They're doing something. They're, you know, like, so the device is the root cause, because if the kid was bored, no matter what the mom said, the kid would be outside falling from trees, carrying the, you know, they'd be doing something, because they would drive the mom so crazy. The mom would say, get the hell out of the house.
Right.
That's what our mom said.
Yep.
So the device is taking up all their attention. It's giving them a ton of dopamine hits. Kids today, they're not even chasing getting driver's licenses anymore or chasing girls because they got everything they need from the phone.
All right. I thought that was a pretty interesting video. And I will say there's a couple things that just like triggered me when I was watching it. One of the first things that triggered me was the first thing in the video. You know, what do you think, Rodrigo? Is it okay that this lady that was just passing by stopped her car, bypassed the dad, even though he was saying, my kids are fine, my kids are fine, and just directly talked to the children? On one hand, I have mixed feelings about this because I'm like, well, I really like that she was like looking out for the kids. But on the other hand, Come on, she was like bypassing the parent. I was kind of like, get your take on that.
Yeah, it was, there's so many facets to this video that we're going to explore. And I'm glad that we're doing that because I think you can gloss over a lot of them if you focus on several things, right? One of them being this stranger, right, inserting herself into the interaction between the parents. I'll say this to begin with. I think it's commendable that from her perspective, she felt that there may be something going on. I know that there's a lot of kids that may be scared and that are punished. On a related note, I don't know if you've heard of a movie called Iron Claw, The Iron Claw.
I've never seen it.
So it just came out. It's one of the best movies of 2023, and it deals with a wrestling family called the Von Erichs. And it really centers on the relationship between the brothers. It's a group of brothers and their father. And the reason I bring this up is because the father in that movie was doing things very similar to this father, but in a negative way. He was training them because he wanted them to become champions because he was never the champion. He wanted the title in the family. And even in the movie, they said, "Oh, son, when you win this championship, the title will finally be ours." And so there's something going on there, right? Where he's training them and he's making them, do this and do that. And the movie is fantastic, first of all. But second of all, it really is a great example of an overbearing father, of a father that's just laser focused on one thing. So, just having recently seen that movie and just, kind of seeing how other people do put their kids in these situations, would have I approached it differently? I really would have, but I don't blame her necessarily to say like, "Hey, are y'all okay? Hey, this and that," because there are times when kids are going through situations that they don't know how to respond to. Now, would it have been helpful? I don't know, because if a kid is in a situation like that, are they going to suddenly speak up now that there's a stranger there and their dad's there or their mom's there? Who knows? It's a very kind of tricky situation, but in the end, I don't necessarily begrudge the lady for stopping and asking the kids. I think that the second time that she came around, she probably could have eased up a little bit, as far as bypassing him. She could have just explained herself and go, "Hey, look, I don't really see this that often. It seems grueling to me," and so forth. And again, he doesn't have any, ne necessity to respond to her or anything like that, right? But at the same time, it would be nice for him to say like, "Well, we're doing this, whatever." But do I do so? So bottom line is, am I mad at her for necessarily stopping him? No, I'm not. I'm not. I think it's a responsibility of all parents to make sure that we look out for other kids that may be in situations that, we detect like, "Hey, something's not right here," because we never know. We might be that person that kind of gets involved in a situation that might be actually helpful to that kid.
And I hear you with that. Like, I feel too many times we put our head down and we just keep to ourselves, or we get on our blinders so we don't see too far out, and we don't have the bravery anymore to say, wait, this doesn't look right. I should say something. I think that that happens way too often. I'm just going to play devil's advocate here, though, and be like, so as a parent, for someone to come up, a stranger, not knowing the context of what's happening, and question this man's parenting, she's lucky she didn't get into a massive argument with him or even hurt. Or I think it's even harder for women to stand up to men like that because there's a danger factor there too. So it's just, I was like, when I watched the video, I was like, well, what would I would have done if I would have saw something like that? I guess I don't know. I honestly don't know, because part of me says I need to keep myself safe. I do want to maybe confront this man, but how do I confront this man as a woman and not hurt myself, not be in a dangerous situation if he gets angry with me? And on the other hand, being a parenting coach and caring about kids to the utmost extreme, because like that's what I do, it's what I love, it's obviously my profession too. I wouldn't sleep well just driving by and not saying anything either. I mean, it's lucky this dad is the owner of Spartan, and yeah, he was obviously they're a very athletic family, and this is very kind of an extreme example of carrying kettlebells, but even with something smaller, you know, that we see in someone else's parenting, where's the line where we should say something and where's the line where we don't, because we're overstepping our boundaries as a third party person?
You know, that's a great point. And I actually hadn't thought of that. The kind of the danger she put herself in as a woman to confront a man, right? A dad.
A strong man, could, too.
Yeah.
He's very strong.
and that's very, I got to be honest with you. I hadn't thought about that. And I'm sure you think about that quite often because, you know, you that's the skin you live in, right? But yeah, and I think that even drives home the point even more that's how strongly she felt about it, that she felt it was necessary to insert herself in, to interject and say, hey, I got to do something here. You know, and it sounds like he didn't overreact. And so I think he handled it correctly, knowing, and obviously he kind of reflects back and he says, I understand that because to her, these kids look like wild animals. You know, these kids are out here in the wild outside. You know, she probably hasn't seen a kid outside in years, you know? So it sounds like he was empathetic, I guess, to her, the way she felt, because he understood, you know, and he didn't take it as a slight to him, to his parenting, which I think a lot of people in this situation, we should really reflect on and say like, hey, you know what? This person is acting on their experiences and it's not necessarily reflective of my parenting, but because honestly, that is what we're going to think of, right? Hey, are you calling me a bad parent? Oh, hell no, you know, da, 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 da. But that person is interjecting. In a non-parent example, I was recently flying from Orlando to San Antonio. And very briefly, this lady was kind of stirring up a ruckus with a lot of people. She started up a ruckus with this one lady because she sat down and this and that. So here comes the supervisor, and the supervisor goes, okay, I'm going to tell both of y'all right now that if y'all don't settle down. And I had that same feeling that you just said right now, right? Like a lot of people just kind of went like this. They didn't want to say anything, but I didn't feel it was right. And I stopped and I said, excuse me, sir, before you continue, this lady had nothing to do with it. This lady had nothing to do with it. This lady, and you know, I'm not the type to be like just, you know, talking out loud or anything, but that's just not right. She just came here and sat down and she's minding her business and this lady's just going crazy. And then of course the crazy lady goes, oh my God. No. Anyway, she eventually got kicked off the plane. My whole point with that is if we do see something that's wrong and it falls within our moral compass, we shouldn't be ashamed to say, hey, I don't think that's right. If the situation is right, it'll correct itself out. If it's wrong, we're doing the right thing by pointing out that it's wrong. And I think in this particular situation, she felt so moved to it that she came back a second time to make sure they were okay. I think that shows a lot of empathy on her part. I think it shows a lot of care on her part. Yes, granted, I mean, the kids were fine. We know that, but she didn't know that at that time. So I'm not going to begrudge her. I'm not going to be mad at her. I actually commend her for just taking a stand on that. You know, it's dangerous. You know, I probably wouldn't even recommend her to do that. But if she felt compelled to do so, kudos to her in my book for really kind of going out of her way and ensuring that there was, you know, safety there with what the kids were doing.
And then, you know, go back into this idea that she saw the kids and of course he interpreted it as they look like wild animals to her because they're outside. Now, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. It was probably the kettlebells. You know, she was worried that they were getting punished, I think, in some way. I think it's funny to me that the owner of Spartan here, it didn't even occur to him maybe that, or maybe they clipped it out of the TikTok video that it wasn't that. He went straight to kids don't go outside. Why would, you know, she think that that's a normal thing? And it's true. Our kids are not getting outside anymore. And I wonder, do other parents feel like that when they see kids out and walking around? I know personally, like when I see kids outside, I get excited, but I don't think it's a red flag to me that they're outside. But It's true that they don't go outside quite as much anymore. I don't know. How did you feel about that?
I think that's just, I always find it funny when there's these generational gaps. You know, people always kind of criticize the other generations, you know. It just goes to show that we're getting them. That's it. It sucks, right? Because hey, let's think about this, right? Growing up, I know that I played a lot of video games. You know, I was in there. And of course, my parents would say, you need to get outside, you know, this and that. And I would go outside and do that, right? And then when I was raising my kids, my boys now are 22 and 19. So they're, you know, significantly older. I would tell them the same thing too. I go, hey, y'all been playing video games and y'all over here, you know, let's go outside. And then during the pandemic, I remember everybody was shut in. And then before the pandemic, I think it was, they had us before the pandemic, I'm sorry. There was a app that came out called Pokemon Go. And everybody was outside. And I thought it was so funny how everybody was remarking that people were outside. You know, and I think it's just kind of a full circle moment where we don't realize what's going on outside of our own bubbles. Because kids have been outside quite a bit. I am right now on the campus of Texas A&M San Antonio, here on the south side of San Antonio. And when I was pulling up, it was so funny. I was getting ready for our podcast. I said, I'm setting up for an event. But I said, hey, I got to get a podcast. And guess what I saw outside? Four adult kids playing football, throwing the football. It looks so out of place.
Is our standards that low now that we just are shocked when we see kids outside exercising?
They were tossing the football around. And it was so weird because I felt like I was at the actual campus, right? And see like kids throw footballs and people outside and this and that. So I think it's just a matter of perspective. I think a lot of times we kind of lose that. I am sure there are tons of kids outside. But I will admit, in my bubble, in my circle, I don't see that too often. Even within my own kids. My kids now prefer to socialize online. My youngest son, he loves being on his Xbox. And sometimes I do feel like he's in his room all day. But here's the thing. He's in his room. He's talking to his friends. He's talking to his girlfriend. They are socializing. They listen to music together. And they're playing on the game together. Now, on Friday, I know that they're going out. They're going to go to a car show on Saturday morning. So, yeah, okay, maybe my son's not outside all the time. You know, he's not out. But he is outside. He just chooses to be inside because he can still get that socialization that he, you know, that he kind of craves. Because I know when I was young, I definitely needed that socialization. And I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have social media. We didn't have any of that. So we were forced to go outside. Just like the video pointed out, me getting my driver's license, oh my God, that was such a big deal. Because I mean, freedom, right? I'm sure if I was growing up at this point right now, I probably would be the same way too. I was like, hey, my driver's license. It sounds like more responsibility than me.
I think you're right with that. I haven't really thought of it in that way. I mean, it is a generational gap. There definitely is that. We couldn't be inside. Our parents didn't let us, you know, but there wasn't a reason to be inside either, unless we were watching television, because we didn't have the phones. We didn't have as many video games. I remember when video games came out, I only had Atari, and I never had Super Mario Brothers. Like everybody else, I was so jealous. and that was
inside. I was in the same boat. I only had Atari. I had an Atari 7800.
Oh, yes.
That's the system. I did not have a Nintendo until way later. And I was playing these games like Pole Position. And my friends are over here like, what? Why do you have that system?
Oh, I'm the queen of Centipede to this day. I love the game. But it was all we had to be inside. Otherwise, we were kind of forced to go outside. And I guess it makes my heart sad to think that we do get more shocked when we see just people outside in general. And we have to make these intentional as parents, like activities or force our kids to go outside. And in a lot of ways, our parents did that for us too. They forced us to go outside because they said, hey, I don't want you in here. We're not really doing that as much for our kids anymore. Unless it's, I feel like for me, I put my kids in a week-long outdoor camp in the mountains every year. That's really important to me. I want them to have a week of no electronics outside. I'm constantly asking them to go for a walk But I have to do it with them in order to encourage them. It's not like back in the day when you would just tell them to go and they would be off on their own or grab a bike and head out on the street and you wouldn't see them till later. Parents aren't doing that anymore. My assumption is because of safety. Like it's more dangerous to be on a bike and wandering around your neighborhood. But it hurts my heart. And I think that a lot of parents don't realize that in order to encourage your child to be outside today, we have to be outside with them. We actually have to like role model it and walk the walk and asking our kids to go outside when there's so much other cool things indoors now for them to do. We're going to get pushback.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. The parenting of back then is totally different than the parenting of now. Back then, you know, they would tell us, get your ass outside. And, you know, okay, there we go. And that was it, right? And nowadays, you know, kind of telling folks, you know, telling kids, you know, hey, get your ass outside, you know, this and that. Well, you know, what are they going to do? They don't really have that concept. And I think when we kind of incorporate ourselves into those activities, it works great. That's a fantastic way of kind of incorporating the outdoors, right? You just said to yourself, hey, we're going to do a week-long vacation. We're going to get out there. We're going to do our thing. We're going to get together. And it's always funny because I'm pretty sure what happens in those trips, and the same thing happens with me when I take those trips with my boys, the very first like few hours, restless, you know, it's like, this and that. But by day one, by the end of day one, they're like, oh man, what are we going to do tomorrow? And hey, we're going to do this. By the end of the week, you know, they're like free of their devices. And then when they get it back, it's just like drugs.
But parents, so many of them, I feel, don't get over that initial hump of pushback. And you do, you just got to get over that hump. There will be pushback and it's going to be crappy for the first couple, I don't know, hours or day or whatever that looks like for your kid. But if you can get over that, it's awesome. My kids, my two teenagers that I had, they're now also grown, 20 and 21, but they weren't that excited about their driver's license either. But do you think that's because of electronics, like the video is implying?
Well, I think we're equating our experiences to their experiences. And so when we were young, driver's license was freedom. You know, it was everything. You know, now to me, I didn't need my driver's license to drive. My mom didn't like to drive, so she wouldn't let me drive all the time. She let me go to errands, but it was still a freedom. It was still kind of like, oh my God, I get to do things on my own. My parents aren't there with me, and this and that. Kids nowadays, they do a lot of things on their own. They're on their phone by themselves. They're playing video games by themselves. They're talking, you know, they're chatting, whatever. So necessarily that freedom, they've already experienced that freedom. So a driver's license to them doesn't necessarily equate to freedom. And I think that's the thing that we're doing. We're equating our experiences, which are pretty vivid because the driver's license was a big deal to us.
Oh, yeah, that was to a their experience.
I know. And so many people always tell me like, man, when I got my driver's license, it was over, you know. But for kids nowadays, it's not, because they can already experience a lot of those freedoms via their phone, via their Xbox, via whatever, you know, social media, and they're fine. You know, they have their laptop. That's fine. I know that the biggest thing for my kids growing up was when they got their first cell phone by themselves. Now that was a big, big deal. That's to them, because Samuel, his phone was under his family, his mom's phone. And so his mom had access to his phone. He knew that, you know, his mom could get the phone anytime, this and that. But when he turned 17, I made a deal with him and I said, hey, I'll get you a phone. It'll be your phone. Blah, blah, blah. To him, that was free. He was like, wow, I can get my own phone. Like you're not going to check it and stuff. Like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't have the time. And even if I had the time, why would I want to do that? And he says, oh, okay, yeah, that'd be good, you know. And I was able to extract a ton of value for that. But that was his freedom. So I assume that somebody getting, you know, a kid getting their first iPad, their first laptop, their first phone, that probably is kind of the same association of freedom that we experienced when we got our driver's license. So in a sense, you know, he's kind of right, but I think he's the effect that he's looking for is misplaced. I think it's more the memory and the association of freedom, not necessarily the driver's license itself. It's just what it represented to us that, you know, it's different for the kids.
One thing that you said that I'd never really thought about before, it struck me just now, was when you said that driver's license just means more responsibility to a kid. And I think that's brilliant, because if you're not getting that dopamine rush of freedom, then yeah, they're getting that downer of, oh, now I got more that I need to make sure that I don't mess up and that I could mess up. It's, you know, I got, yeah, response. It's responsibility. It's, and it never really occurred to me that maybe that's why my teenager was avoiding that. It came to the point where I was like, all right, you got to get your driver's license, because I have four kids and I'm exhausted from driving you to school every day. When you can drive yourself, I need to be able to drive it, you know? So get your license. And I just never thought about, like, why. I thought it maybe fear of getting hurt. I didn't know. I couldn't figure it out. But what you just said went ding, ding, ding. I wonder if that was it.
Yeah, no, I think that's what the kids see it nowadays as, responsibility. Like, I'm growing up, you know, I mean, come on. Back then when we were kids, you know, our parents driving us to school, it was like, oh, you know, mom's got to drop me off, dad's got to drop me off. Nowadays, the kids, they're on their phone while we're driving, you know? So to them, you know, it's kind of almost a loss of time that they have to drive themselves to school, because obviously they shouldn't be, you know, distracted driving. That's very dangerous. So to them, it's more of a loss of time. And then in my particular situation, like, I tell my son now to run errands, you know, hey, we need some of this, we need to do that, go to the grocery store, pick this up. And he's like, okay, this and that. Hey, my sister needs this, go deliver this for, you know, one. Okay, so for him, yeah, it's definitely a lot more responsibility, a lot more of intrusion into his time that he already has blocked off, and probably even like him thinking like, damn, you know, dad's getting his return on his investment now, because he's definitely using me for driver duties and errands and stuff, and I'm like, damn right, you know. I put a lot of time into it, so yeah, I want to get my return back on that. But yeah, I do. I've talked to several parents whenever we have these issues. Part of my practice is co-parenting, and a lot of times we have kind of a difference of opinion when a child is to get their cell phone, for example. And, you know, one parent says, no, they shouldn't get their cell phone. The other parent says, yeah, why not? And this and that. And there's often so many times where the parents don't realize that the cell phone does represent freedom, but also represents trust. You know, that you're showing your child that you trust them. Hey, you know what? We're going to give you a cell phone. Okay. And this is primarily to communicate with us. We want you to text us. You know, I always tell parents, put those parameters and make them very, very bold. When we text you, you text us back. You know, when we call you, you call us back. You answer the phone, et cetera. That's the rule that I have with my son. And he's 19. But I tell him, anytime I call you, anytime, you know, I text you, I need you to text me back. I'm not trying to bother you, but if I text you, it's because I need something. I need you to, you know, respond, you know, whatever. And again, those were some of the parameters that we gave him, and he was totally fine with that. It's like, yeah, no problem. But it was showing him that trust. And I think a lot of times parents, we kind of misplace that and think the bad things as opposed to the good things that could come with a phone ownership. And so I think it's important to kind of get that perspective and understand not just our perspective as to the phone, but also the kids' perspective, how they feel about their phones themselves.
So there's one thing about the video that I did agree with, and that is when he said that not electronics, I don't exactly agree that electronics are the demise kind of kids being kids and playful and outside and things. But I do think that cell phone has really changed our society. And although there are tremendous benefits, I feel like there are, I don't know, equal amount of negatives. And so it's just my personal opinion. But I do agree with that with him that, you know, I wish that it wasn't portable. Like, it's not the phone. I want my kids to actually be online. I actually want my kids to play video games and have fun. I want my kids to be social. What I don't like is how they can carry it around with them wherever they go. That's the part that drives me crazy. I wish we could still stick it to the frickin' wall. You know, that would be so much better in my own opinion, my own brain, because I do equate a lot of mental health issues and just physical activity issues, like so physical health, to this portable computer that's sitting in everybody's hand or pocket. But what's your take on that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's important to kind of respect my son's leisure time. You know, however he decides to choose it, I'm okay with that. Do I wish that he would work out a little bit more or go outside and this and that? Yeah, sure. But I also respect that his leisure time is his, and I guess it dictate what he wants to do. My son works, he goes to school. Those are the agreements that we have, and he meets his chores and this and that. So I'm cool with it. You know, I'm not going to really kind of determine when he can and can't do that. Now, of course, my son is older, so, you know, that's kind of the agreement we have. I definitely do agree with parameters when kids are younger, where, you know, you need to kind of like, you know, adjust that for them. But I think it's, again, going back to like trusting them to find, you know, time to use that they get. Now, it does become an issue when they're on the phone late at night, when it's disrupting their schoolwork, their classwork, or that you see that it's being destructive mentally. I think you made up a really good point that our kids nowadays are subjected to so many different influences, so much pressure. There could be online bullying occurring, all kinds of stuff. I don't think there's anything wrong with being interested in what type of activities your kids are participating in. Because again, just like that mother that we spoke about earlier, right? If you feel something's wrong or something's not right, please feel free to ask your kids, you know? But remember, and I think we talk about this almost every single episode, Christina, if you haven't established the foundation for communication, your kids are not going to respond. You have to, you know, you can't wait till there's a problem. You should be talking to your kids every single day, every single day. And it doesn't have to be super involved every single day. Just tell them, hey, so how was school? You know, I mean, that is such an easy question. Hey, how was your day? You know, and maybe it's just fine, you know, and maybe this and that. But show genuine interest, because, I mean, I assume you're interested in your kids. They're your kids after all, right? But you should be asking this question. That way, whenever you come up with a serious question, you go, hey, I've been noticing X, Y, Z. Everything okay? It's not just out of the blue. It's not a punishment question. It's not a, oh my God, they're creeping up on me question. It's a genuine question of interest that you have with your kids and what's going on. So I think it's really important that when we consider all these online activities, whether it's on the phone, on the computer, on the iPad, whatever, that we approach them, but we have that communication already established. Because like you said earlier, Christine, I think that is a big issue, the mental health wellness aspect of online activities and social media and all that stuff.
In order to get your kids to make good choices later, those choices you want to get them to do, right? I feel like not only do you have to have that good communication from the beginning, but too many parents aren't role modeling what they want their kids to see or not joining them in those activities. Like, you want your kid to be outside, but when was the last time you saw a dad and a son throwing a baseball out in the park? Oh. I mean, that's just like literally how long has it been? I live right next to one of the biggest and most popular parks in Denver. And I see that once a summer, no exaggeration. I mean, just once. I should be able to see that nearly every day as I'm driving to my home. And it makes me sad, but that goes back to the parents being too busy. And, you know, how much are we on our own phones? You know, we said, tell our teenagers, don't drive with our phone, you know, off your phone, turn it off. But, you know, I make this error too. Sometimes my teenagers are like, Mom, put your phone down, you're driving. And I'm like, oh yes, you're right. And I have to correct myself, you know, but we aren't role modeling the behaviors, and yet we're condemning our kids for acting the way that they do. It's like, you know, so it's you gotta really check yourself as a parent too. I think that's really important, and that's not easy. We don't like to self-reflect. We don't like to look inward. That it's there's bad feelings that tend to get drawn up from that, even traumas.
It's interesting that you just brought up role modeling behavior. When you were asking me another question earlier, Christina, I actually meant to bring that up because, in fact, when it comes to the leisure time that we just spoke about earlier, I was going to mention, you know, I model the behavior that I want my son to see. And I don't want him to challenge me on my leisure time. He'll catch me playing video games, reading a book, going out, messing with my car, this and that. So I model that behavior and tell him, hey, this is what relaxes me. You know, that should be okay if you choose, you know, whatever behavior you want to do. And so I think it is important that we model the behavior that we want our kids to do, because it is very hard to say one thing but then do another. That's not the way it works. That's not really the agreement that parents should have with their kids. That is old school parenting. That is parenting that just doesn't work. I remember back when my dad, and again, I love my dad. Love him to death, but I'm the only one that talked mess about him. My dad drank a lot. My dad, you know, spanked us. He hit us, you know. He was abusive to my mom in various ways. But he always said, you know, be polite, be nice to people, you know, treat people with respect, you know, clean yourself up, and you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that, and no. And it was such a crazy, you know, a paradox. You know, he was telling me I needed to be this kind of guy because this is the kind of guy, you know, we should all aspire to be. But then I see him doing this, you know, and it created such a cognitive dissonance for me growing up. Nowadays, you know, I definitely model the behavior that I want my boys to follow. You know, I don't say anything that I wouldn't do to my boys. I have my own business now. I work, you know, I travel quite a bit. And my son even tells me, he's like, Dad, you've been gone quite a bit. I go, this is what I want to do. This is what I like, you know, and this and that. So I hope that they see that and that they see, you know, hey, I'm out there chasing what I want to do. My oldest son, he's doing that right now, currently. He does drag. He does, you know, he does his thing. I want him to do that. You know, I want him to chase his dreams. And the only way I can really push him to do that is if I do that myself, and that I'm pushing myself. And my youngest, too, he's kind of like realizing, like, hey, you know, Dad's right. I should be doing what I want to do, you know, interspersed with, you know, things that he has to do, like work and school and all that stuff. So I think it's really important. And I think that also leads, if you don't mind, it also leads to another point that the father made in the video that I actually wanted to kind of discuss, where he talks about the accomplishments of his kids. And he makes a great point. He goes, they're not really special. They're just rare. And I think that's important that we kind of frame that carefully for our kids in two ways. One, in the sense that he's given them perspective, because I'm sure that what he said on the video, he probably told his kids too. He's like, hey, great. You ran a marathon. You know, you did great. You know, you did fantastic on accomplishing that goal. That is great. You know, but for him to go out there and say, oh my God, my kid is special because he ran a marathon. He adds that perspective. Like, hey, look, there's people that go out there and walk miles for water. You're out here running for pleasure. You're doing this for leisure activity. Not only are you doing it for that race, but you're also training for that race. You have time. You know, that's a privilege. You have time to run, to buy the shoes, to get coaching, to get training, to participate in this race and all this stuff. That's great. You know, and I'm proud of you. And you set out a goal to, you know, and you did it. Is it rare? Yes. And, you know, that's commendable in that aspect. But it's not special. Okay. Special is like something like truly special. That's something that you were able to accomplish. But something special is, you know, doing something that's just extraordinary. Carrying 10 gallons of water, you know, across an arid land just so you can drink. That's something special. You know, that takes, you know, that's a whole nother level right there. And I think that's really, really important for giving our kids that perspective. You know, I'm not one to hand out participation trophies either. You know, I don't really believe in them. But what I do believe is in recognizing effort. And recognizing somebody committed to a goal and then establishing, accomplishing that goal. I think we should praise our kids when they do that, when they set out to do something and they do it. You know, like, hey, good job. Way to accomplish that. Way to set out your goal. Way to make it. Good job on that run. You know, say, I think that's what we really need to focus on as far as, you know, what the true accomplishment is as opposed to bragging about something or saying like, oh my God, you know, how special is that? Oh my God, no one ever does that. Or it's bad. So I thought it was good perspective. I don't know. What did you think about that particular point, portion of the video where he provides that perspective?
That's the word, perspective. It really does puts perspective on it that I didn't even, it was another light bulb for me. I was like, wow, that's really insightful to have that perspective that anybody else would say that is amazing. You are special, because we don't immediately always go to that perspective that, oh yeah, there are people carrying water on their heads walking for miles, because we don't see that. We put ourselves in our own little bubble, and you know, so in our little world, that's special over there. But he's right. That's all perspective about, you know, where they're, you know, the big picture. They weren't doing anything that special. It was just really rare for a kid to be doing that, or anybody to be doing that, let alone a child. So how, as a parent, then do we put that perspective into our kids? And I guess we lead by example. We say, hey, this is wonderful, and we praise, but we make sure not to I don't want to say elevate too much, because you want to elevate your kids, but you do also want to keep them humble. So it's definitely a balance. And I don't know if I have even an answer for my own question, you know, like, how do we do that? How do we keep them humble, still make them feel special, but realize that they really aren't all that special? There's a lot of amazing people out there. They just need to be acknowledged for their accomplishments. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the paradox of it, right? You want to, you know, I was talking to another parent recently, and I told him that's the paradox of parenting. What made me, I feel like, a good parent was how I was raised. But how I was raised is not the way I'm going to raise my kids. So how can I expect them to be a good parent, right? It's this whole paradox and whatnot. But I think really the most important thing is to provide the perspective, still, you know, praise your child when they accomplish something. But keep in mind that, hey, you know what? There's another goal to set. There's something else to do. There are other people have accomplished it, this and that. I'm pretty sure that his kids, regardless of how all this went about, that they still feel proud. You know, I mean, running a marathon is not a small feat. And I think for them, you know, I think there probably is a sense of accomplishment, because he's probably raised them in a way that they understand, like, hey, what I'm doing was good. But it's not like special, you know, in that sense, like, yeah, you know, hey, look at me, I did this and that. So I think there's definitely a balance there that needs to be kind of explored in that sense.
So maybe what I'm hearing you say is, as parents, we really do need to look inward at ourselves and how we're projecting onto our kids. I know we all think our kid is special, and they are. Each kid is special in their own way, but it's how we project that on them. Like, yeah, every kid getting a ribbon, we saw what that did, okay, to society. I think the majority of our listeners here could agree that maybe is not the best to give everybody a ribbon, because then it made the value of the ribbon low, and now there's no goals to set. And so we need to get our kids instead of shooting for being special, they just need to get that dopamine from the accomplishment itself, the journey, to really value the journey of wherever it is that you're trying to get them to do. And us as parents, we're navigating that. This is all tricky waters. It's never simple. Every situation is going to be different, so it's hard to explain, but I hope that I'm articulating it right, where it's us. It starts with us. You know, are you giving your child a ribbon every time they do every little thing, or are you just acknowledging that they did something amazing, and there's always a bigger fish. Now let's go to the next goal. Like, there's not an end point there. Like, oh, you're special. Great. That's it. And here's the ribbon, and it's over. No. That was wonderful. Now let's do this. There's always aiming for something bigger is a way to do that. I don't know. I think I'm mumbling.
I know I already mentioned the movie a couple times, but I'm really going to impress it on you now, Christina, to watch this movie, and also to our viewers, because it really kind of exemplifies what we're talking about right now. The movie's called The Iron Claw. It came out last year. It's about, so the movie is about the Von Erich family. They're like a wrestling family dynasty here in Texas. And it just goes to show that our parenting our parenting behaviors have such a strong influence on our kids' behavior. And that if we're not careful and we don't start with us, like you mentioned earlier, Christine, if we don't take the time to be reflective on our own biases, on our own trauma, on our own issues that we need to resolve, that we may unconsciously pass those on to our kids, and that our kids are going to now suffer because of our own suffering. That's what we got to stop. We got to stop that. We got to realize that if we want to be the best parents we want to be, we got to be the best person we want to be. That starts with self-reflection. That starts with mental wellness. And if it requires, that means therapy. That means mental health counseling. That means really kind of getting the toolkit that you need to be the best prepared person that you can be, so that you can be the best prepared parent, so you can raise the best child.
That is an amazing insight. And we'll just have to go see the movie Iron Claw, because it sounds fantastic. And it seems like it's got a lot of great lessons for parents in there. So I guess we'll have to just go see it.
One last reflection on the video, Christina, mm-hmm. if you don't mind, would be, you know, kind of handling the situation, right? So we were at HEB, and my son rams the basket on the back of my leg. Now, Christina, I told my son when he pleaded with me, he said, Dad, please let me push the basket. I said, okay, but do not ram the back of my leg. Okay? I don't like that. He goes, okay, Dad, okay. Of course, we proceed to go through the bread aisle. What does he do, Christina? He grabs the back of my leg.
Happens every time.
I gave him a warning, Christina. I gave him a warning. I told him. He said, oh, I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry. I said, okay, just pay attention. We walk down further, and guess what he does again?
Oh,
he grabs the back of my leg.
No. Twice.
So at this point, when he grabs the back of my leg, I grab him, and I spank him. I spank the hell out of him, right? And this lady intervened. And she told me, she goes, excuse me, sir. Do you think that's appropriate here? I, of course, you know, again, I was a young parent, totally different style than now. And I said, you know what? Why don't you mind your effing business?
Yeah.
And she looked at me, she goes, oh.
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't do that. And she pushed her card and she kept going, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my son was crying and this and that. So I look back at it now, right? I look back at it now. And that was the wrong approach. I know that that's probably our first reaction, you know, don't get, you know, this and that. But it truly is the wrong approach. You know, somebody is, you know, intervening. It is not her any of her business. But I could have just said, you know, very quickly, I go, my son needs to be disciplined. I'm disciplining him the way I feel I'm disciplining. And that's it. You know, and if she wants to continue talking or whatnot, I tell her this is not up for discussion. You know, please, you know, be on your way or whatever. You know, something to that effect. Because at that point, again, I'm modeling the behavior I want my boys to see. And when I interact with somebody like that and I cuss them out and I disrespect the lady and I show that, hey, when somebody is trying to show me maybe, you know, like, hey, consideration, that it's okay to, you know, be rude to them. You know, I didn't really need to expect. So I'll say this now that, you know, I am, you know, where I am now. If a lady were to do that, I would just say like, hey, we're exercising. My boys, you know, and I, we were coming, you know, this and that. I appreciate your concern. And I actually commend you for stopping over here. But my boys are okay. And if you want, feel free to ask. And I think when you do something like that, you kind of disarm concern, you know, because now as a parent, I'm not being defensive. I'm not hiding anything. I'm being super transparent. And I'm even inviting you to talk to my kids. So now I'm telling you like, hey, I'm so confident that what I'm doing is part of my parenting routine. Hey, go ahead, talk to my kids. You know? And so I think that would probably be the best response that I could give, and really the best response I would give to that. You know, I wouldn't take it personally. The lady doesn't know me. She doesn't know my parenting style. She doesn't know what kind of parent I am or anything like that. So there's no way she could pass judgment as to what kind of parent I am. And if she did, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. She's not anybody to pass judgment on my parenting style because she doesn't know me. So I wouldn't personally be affected by some I mean, and I tell this to parents, this may sound a little like aggressive, but I tell parents this, I've told parents this before. I said, if you're getting offended by some nobody telling you, judging you on your parenting, are you that insecure about how good of a parent you are? Because that person's opinion shouldn't matter at all. If you're confident as to your parenting skills and what you've done and the work that you've put in and the relationship that you have with your child, anybody else's opinion is pretty much pointless. It's worthless. And it shouldn't have no bearing whatsoever on you. You know who you are. You should work confident in that. Now, if you don't have that confidence, then maybe there's something we should work on. You know, maybe you should contact Christina, you know, and say, hey, you know what? I really do want to communicate with my child a little bit better. Or, hey, you know what? I do have an aggressive approach towards this when my child does this and does that. You know, because again, the only way we improve is that we seek out those tools and we do the work to improve ourselves.
And I'll add to that to wrap things up too, that what I really gathered from this video in the end was a few things. I feel like there's got to be more opportunities for us as parents, for us as people, as citizens, good citizens, when we see something that we don't think is right, that, you know, we figure out how to tactfully acknowledge it and not put the blinders on. I feel like if we had a society where more of us we're trying to help, and it's not trying to invade, that's completely different. Or she didn't try to stop that dad from what he was doing. She was inquiring. And I feel like we need more inquiry. And I don't understand what you're doing. So I need to know more about it. And, you know, if we had a little bit more of that, I think it'd just be a little bit more caring society. And I do. I commend that woman for stopping. I don't know if I would have done that myself. Fear out of my own safety. And that's just my 100% honest opinion. As a smaller woman, it's always top of mind. And I hate to say it, but I don't know if I would have stopped, afraid that this man may have taken my inquiry badly. I don't know. And I will never know, because I was never in that situation. But I am proud of that lady for saying something when she thought she saw something off, and she was just trying to help those kids. And I condemn that dad for, maybe it took a mile of walking, because I'm sure he was pissed at first that this lady was invasive. But after that mile of walking, for him to have the empathy to see that's where she was coming from. And we need more of that in the world. Thank you for joining us today. Remember that this episode is just a small part of what the Impactful Parent offers. Also available are online courses, parent support groups, coaching services, and the Impactful Parent app. Find out more by going to theimpactfulparent.com. Become a more impactful parent by downloading the Impactful Parent app. The Impactful Parent app is free so that you can carry help, tips, and parenting resources right in your pocket. So discover new techniques to make your parenting more effective, and parenting resources that are just going to make your life easier. Download the app today. You got nothing to lose because it's free. So go to theimpactfulparent.com or your phone's app store and search Impactful Parent. And then you can discover how you can step up your parenting game to become a more impactful parent. But until next time, you got this. I'm just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. Go to the Impactful Parent website and download the free Impactful Parent app so you don't miss a parenting tip that could help you and your family. Thanks for listening today. So go to theimpactfulparent.com and see you next episode.